Now, next up this afternoon, I want you to hear a story of remarkable resilience. Kevin Caffrey, who's originally from Dublin, works in Kerry County Council, here in the same building as us in Radio Kerry. Now, I've known him for a long time, as long as I've been working here, which is at least 15 years. And we've often chatted on the way in and the way out of the building. And I often noticed that Kevin spoke a little bit slower than the rest of us. And I also noticed that he walks with a limp, but I didn't actually know why until quite recently. And it turns out that when Kevin was a young man of just 25 years old, working in the accounts department of the Gresham Hotel in Dublin, he suffered a massive brain hemorrhage, which changed his life forever. But here is the really strange thing about the story. Kevin now looks back at what happened to him, and he says quite plainly that this all turned out to be a blessing in disguise. And he explains exactly why in a book he has just written, which is called Battling for My Life, and it's available on Amazon.com. And as the book has just been launched, Kevin spoke to me earlier on, and at the outset, he told me a little bit about that day that he got that catastrophic brain hemorrhage.
I had an ABM, that is a birthmark on the brain. It was going to go off more likely. It could have gone off at when I was 2 days old or 50 years old. People that have ABMs don't know about them, so I didn't know them about it. And I was doing my chores and everything, and I was studying for my finals in accounting.
In Dublin?
In Dublin. And all of a sudden, about 2 weeks before my hemorrhage, I got a fright because I realised that I couldn't speak. One night, I realised I couldn't speak, so I jumped out of the bed. I was trying to speak for about 10 seconds, and then it came back.
And how old were you at this stage, if you don't mind me asking?
I was 24, nearly 25.
Oh, young man. Yeah. Okay. So that happened. And then a few days later.
Yes. That was a warning shot, and I didn't take any notice of it. Then a few days later, I was in bed again, and my girlfriend says, what time is it? I couldn't speak. It was all gibberish. So I said, I jumped out of the bed and I tried to speak, and everything I spoke, it was garble.
And you were aware of this yourself?
Yeah. I was aware of this, and I put on my clothes and I went down to Blackrock to get a taxi to the hospital, because I knew I was in trouble. 7 in the morning, there was no taxis. I had to walk back up to the rented house, and I got to the phone book, and I realised I couldn't read or spell.
That's my God.
So I said, oh my God. Finally found, about 10 minutes, 15 minutes entry for St. Michael's Hospital. So I woke up my girlfriend and started crying. And she jumped.
Take your time, it's okay. This is very hard to talk about, bringing it all back.
I know. So she jumped and she called my housemates. No, I didn't know. I said, how did I not think of him to bring me into the hospital?
Because he had a car, did he?
Yeah, he had a car. And I didn't know. I didn't think of ringing 999.
I know, but you weren't thinking straight.
No.
So you got to the hospital.
Yes, and I was just, I was walking across the hospital, side car park, and then on my right side went.
Oh my God.
So everything. So I fell. So I got up, I tried to get up, and I fell again. I knew I was in trouble. My friend caught me under my arms, and my girlfriend took me by the legs and carted me into the hospital.
So did you kind of pass out and then come around again?
Remember, I was in into the hospital, and there was a lot of people in the hospital. The nurse involved saw the signs of a stroke.
Take your time.
Sorry.
No, you're fine, you're fine.
So she put me in onto the bed and straight in, past all the people.
And you were you very aware of what was going on?
Oh, yeah.
You were still with it, yeah.
I was really, really aware. I was...
So your brain was functioning, but your body was doing all these crazy things.
Yeah, I knew I was in trouble, but I didn't know what
was going on. Yeah.
So the next thing, a young doctor came in, and she looked at me, and then she ran to, and then two other doctors, and they said to me, how long I have been out like this, and I couldn't speak.
You couldn't articulate it, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then all of a sudden, I blacked out.
Yeah. So, you at some point you came round and found out what had happened. It must have been a massive shock.
I didn't get. I didn't know. This is really hard. I didn't know what happened to me until 2 weeks after my brain hemorrhage, the actual surgery, because my mother wouldn't let the doctor say to me I had a brain hemorrhage.
Okay, she didn't want to tell you because you were so young, I suppose. You were only a young man.
I know. She was a little bit afraid that I will get another brain hemorrhage.
With the shock of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't know I had a brain hemorrhage until about 2 weeks after. One of the people that was visiting me, she let it slip.
Oh dear. What was that? What did it feel like when you found out?
I said, what? Because I couldn't speak still. I couldn't speak at that time. But I said, and I looked at my mother, and I said, she nodded.
She nodded.
Yeah.
And what was the prognosis for you like initially, Kevin? Did they think you'd survive?
Because I had come through the operation, it was a very good sign. Yeah.
Oh, so you had needed an operation to stop the hemorrhage, obviously.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And they cut the AVM out.
So you got through the surgery, and if I might just bring you along a little bit, then I presume you were in hospital for a long time.
Yeah.
And then Dunleary for rehab.
I was in Dunleary for 1 year inpatient, and half a year as an outpatient.
And do you remember how you felt at the time, Kevin? Because a young man, this is a massive thing to happen to a young man. I presume you were still studying, you had a girlfriend, the whole shebang, and all of a sudden your life comes tumbling around your ears.
Yeah, well, I was, before my hemorrhage, I was working in the Crest Motel.
Okay.
Yeah, and
studying as well.
And studying as well. My finals were
2 weeks after it happened.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. So you couldn't do your finals, obviously.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So.
So do you remember? Were you angry?
No. No.
Very emotional. Sad. What were the emotions?
Yeah. I know. I was a little bit sad, but I because of all of the hard work that has gone down the drain. But I was very, very, I was really, really unhappy in my life before.
Oh, right. Okay.
And after, it gave me a little bit of breathing room. And then,
Take your time.
It gave me a little bit of breathing room. And then the doctor said to me, we will leave you out of, discharge you if you go down to Kerry.
That was the condition.
Yeah, no.
So from what you've been saying to me, before we come to why you came to Tralee, in a way from what you were saying that your life before the brain hemorrhage, you weren't that happy anyway.
No.
Did it turn out to be a bit of a blessing in disguise almost?
Yes.
Is that pushing it too far maybe?
Yes, it was a blessing in disguise because when I came down to Tralee about 2 weeks later, I said, I'm never going back to the Husband Postal of Dublin. No way.
Even though you're a Dub born and bred?
No, yeah, no way. I am staying here for good. I swear.
And what were you doing in the Gresham, by the way?
I was training to be an accountant in the Gresham.
Oh, in the Gresham. Oh, I presumed you were doing bar work to supplement your studies.
No. So I was doing stock control.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. I should tell you this. I was in charge of the cash for the whole of the Gresham. And when I had my hemorrhage, I had the only key. They didn't know where I was. They didn't know where I was. They couldn't
contact you.
There was no phones.
No mobile phones in those days, of course. Yeah.
So they ran around the hospitals. And they knew I was in the south side. So they ran around the hospitals and they finally found me in Beaumont, and it's north side.
My God.
Yeah. So
had you the key? You did.
The key. Now they have changed
the system since, I'd
yeah.
say.
Yeah.
That's an aside anyway. So why did you end up in Kerry?
Yeah, so the doctor said to me, we will leave you go out of the hospital, all right, if you go down to Kerry, because there was a rehab down in Tralee.
Oh, so in Tralee, so that's why.
Yes.
And down you came.
Yeah, down I came. But I had to wait until 2 months for a place to come up. And when I was down here for 2 weeks, I said, never going back.
Never going back. And did you leave like the girlfriend and the friends and everything?
My girlfriend, because my mother and father had been down here for 3 years before. My girlfriend was from Tralee.
Ah.
Yeah. I only had always 1 or 2 days here. I didn't realize, and I was drinking. All the time when I went down here, I was drinking, and I didn't realize how beautiful the place was.
Pre your stroke, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You've been hearing from Kevin Caffrey, Kevin who lives in Tralee now, but is originally from Dublin, telling us the story of how he got an AVM, a type of brain hemorrhage when he was still in Dublin, and how, in a strange way, that ended up being a good thing because it made it found him, it led him to living down here in Tralee. And we'll be hearing a little bit more about Kevin's story after this break. Now, we've been hearing a remarkable human interest story from Kevin Caffrey, who actually works here in this building with us, with Kerry County Council on the ground floor here and on the second floor of this building in Main Street. And Kevin has been telling us the story of how he came to be in Kerry and how it was actually a brain hemorrhage that he suffered that inadvertently led him to finding himself moving down here. And once he got here, he didn't want to leave. Now, in this next part of the story, you'll be hearing from Kevin about how he rebuilt his life after that brain hemorrhage and started to look for work.
Just to come back a bit, Kevin.
Yeah.
I presume that, you know, when in the very early stages of your recovery from the AVM, did you have to kind of relearn how to walk and talk and everything?
Oh, yeah. 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 I thought my first words out will be mom or dad. And it wasn't. It was de. It was really, really hard to talk again. Also, the physio was intense.
I can imagine. Yeah,
it was 3.5 hours long. 3.5 hours long with a 15-minute break inside.
I bet you had some days when you just wanted to give up.
Well, yes, but I kept at it, and I also had OT as well. So I had 3.5 hours physio, 1 hour speech, 1 hour occupational therapy, 1 hour sports, and twice a week for 1 hour swimming.
So it was kind of like they rebuilt you from scratch all over again almost.
Yeah.
So again, just to bring it forward a little bit, so you eventually got back to a state where you could function again and you could work.
I was going out looking for work after about a year. No one would take me on because they don't like say, I don't think you'll be insured. And I said, no, the NTDI, well, the rehab will insure me. And I said, we can't train you in. I was really, really not up. I was frustrated.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And then I had to take it. I had to go a different way.
Okay. Right?
I went to the St. Vincent de Paul.
Yeah.
So they said, "Oh, we will have you. No problems." They put me in the back, shortened the clothes, first, and I was, and then they put me out in the front, taking money, and I was. And when I was there, I was going and applying for jobs. And one of the jobs I applied for was the Kerry County Council. I wasn't too enthusiastic about it because there was, at that time, there was 40 jobs, but there was 1,000 people going for it.
So you got it anyway?
No.
Not initially, okay.
Yeah. There was 2 interviews. I didn't get past the first interview. All right. But 2% of the workforce in the Kerry County Council has to be disabled.
Okay.
All right. But, and I would fail under that 3%. I don't know how much they have at the moment, but at that time they had only over 2%. But they said, "This is a person that will be falling under the 3%." So they gave me 1 month's work experience or contract.
Yeah.
And then after the 1 month, they gave me 3 months. I expended it for 3 months again. They gave me a permanent contract.
And you're there since?
Yes.
here in the same building as ourselves. How long are you there now, Kevin?
I think I started in 1997. So, and I'm here now, but still. So it took 2 years.
And now in this final part of my interview with Kevin Caffrey, he tells me about the lingering effects, the things that have really affected his life owing to the fact that he has a brain tumour, or a brain hemorrhage rather, and the kind of lasting effects that that has had on his health and how he has dealt with them.
I can't drive because of my hemorrhage. I have epilepsy now.
Okay.
Now, Dr. Moore cleared me and say I haven't got a main fit since 2000 or 2001. I can't remember.
Long time ago.
Yeah. Now, I can't use my right hand at all. So I have to use the left hand, and if anything happens, my left hand. And so I have to be very careful of my left hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah. So my arm as well. And now my arm, I should have paid more attention to it. It has wasted away. The only thing that I am not worried about, what's it called?
Take your time.
The only thing that now is my leg.
Okay. Which leg?
The right leg.
Okay.
They said to me when I was being discharged from the rehab in Dunleary that I would have problems with my leg down the road.
Can I ask you about your personal life? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Do I see a wedding ring on that hand there?
Oh, yeah. I met my fiance, now wife, in 2000. Now, if I will say something. I wasn't happy before my hemorrhage. My hemorrhage wasn't not a walk in the park, but after my hemorrhage, I am much happier. And if I hadn't have moved down here, I wouldn't have met my wife.
And where's she from?
Cork.
Okay.
But she...
We forgive her.
Yeah.
And you're settled here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Settled here, and I won't go back up to Dublin. No.
Yeah.
It was hustle and bustle. I didn't like it.
Yeah. You were meant to be here. Yeah. We still haven't spoken about the book. So why did you write it, do you think?
I wanted to write it 3 or 4 years after my hemorrhage, but my English language was atrocious. It is not too good. All right. With ChatGPT and Gemini, I said, look to the model. Said, look, I want to say this. Could you polish up my English and language? They did a good job.
A good job. And what's the book called?
Battling for My Life.
Battling for My Life.
Yeah.
And you strike me as a very happy man.
Oh, yeah. No, I am totally happy now. I am totally happy.
Yeah. It's so strange because it's almost like there was your life before the brain hemorrhage and your life after. And your life after seems to be so much better. I mean,
It is. The brain hemorrhage was not a walk in the park.
Yeah.
But it was a blessing in disguise. I was not happy, happy, and happy now.
Brilliant. And do you think in writing this book that you'll inspire other people who go through health challenges?
I wrote the book because for everyone, anyone else in that my position, I might give them help, and I might give them. So look, it is not a walk in the park, but if you keep at it, and you will come right. It will work out, yes.
And that was Kevin Caffrey there telling me a little bit of his story, all of which is contained in his book called Battling for My Life, which is available now on Amazon.com. Quite a remarkable story. At age 25, with everything ahead of him, a career, exams, girlfriend in Dublin, life in Dublin, and all of a sudden this happens. And he's now able to look back and say that in a weird way, it was the best thing that ever happened to him. It's extraordinary too, how sometimes something bad can occur in our lives. And it's only years later it turns out that we realise that it all turned out for the best. So quite a great, remarkable story. Well done to Kevin. He was lovely to chat to and interview. And we've had a lovely comment in from a listener who said, I used to work in the same building as Kevin and he was always a pleasure to know. So that's nice from that listener too.